Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Over the last 100 years, the ACLU has upheld its mission to protect civil liberties for all. Over the last 4 years, the ACLU has been put to the test in defending these liberties. ACLU lawyers have brought 173 lawsuits against the Trump administration. It started just days after Trump's inauguration, when he issued an executive order banning citizens from 7 countries from entering the United States. It would become a watershed moment known as the Muslim ban. The ACLU was quickly at the defense of families separated from their loved ones, including their babies, in the United States. But that was only the beginning of more bans and cruel policies. The new film, The Fight, follows a team of very, very dedicated ACLU attorneys as they sue the administration over reproductive freedom, trans rights, child separation, and voting rights. The film does an incredible job of showing us what goes on behind the scenes of these cases and what is at stake in the upcoming election. The Fight won this year's Sundance Special Jury Award, and here is the trailer for the film.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, the secretary's decision rested on a single assertion that... Don't do this tomorrow.
Have you argued in front of the Supreme Court before?
No.
Nearly 2,000 children have been separated from their families.
ACLU, good morning.
Hundreds of parents have just lost their kids.
Free our children now!
My job is to make sure the horror of what's going on stays front and center.
You believe in punishment for abortion?
It has to be some form of punishment.
You can't be serious. The government can't ban people from accessing abortion.
This is the president's declaration of, like, open season on trans people.
Transgenderism is a mental dysfunction.
They want to erase trans people from public life.
6 states would lose a seat in Congress. It's all based on the census. Kind of difficult to imagine higher stakes.
The A stands for American. Americans come first. We don't appreciate your work.
You're a filthy organization. Obviously, most of you are pedophiles.
Scrambling.
We've been actually working up a challenge.
Simrat, you're literally pulling my computer off the desk.
You're not going to win every fight.
Just thinking on my own kids, it's just inconceivable.
People say, why don't you go work at a law firm? Why have this level of stress riding on your shoulders?
If we lose this case, I don't know what Roe versus Wade means.
President Trump wins.
What happened, Maya?
3 minutes.
I can't go on right away.
We will go back into court. We will them up.
All I've ever known how to do is fight, and so we just keep fighting. That's what we do.
We are here right now.
If I'm not going to be a civil rights lawyer right now, in this moment, when?
That is the trailer for The Fight, an incredible new documentary that follows a team of ACLU attorneys as they sue the Trump administration over reproductive freedom, trans rights, child separation, and voting rights. Specifically, actually, it's the question on the census. Are you a citizen? And The Fight is streaming now. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are joined by Elise Steinberg and Eli Dupre. They are directors of the new documentary, The Fight. Elise and Eli, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for making this incredible film.
Oh, thank you for having us.
You know, I have to say, I just finished it and I had to wipe away my tears. I mean, the footage you have of the families who were finally reunited, and then the footage you have of the attorneys who are learning about the outcome of their cases is just, I mean, it really does cause you to cry. I mean, especially thinking about where we are right now. Elise, how were you able to get such amazing access? This is the first time the ACLU has ever allowed filmmakers into their offices.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. And yes, getting access to the ACLU wasn't easy. I think, you know, one of the ways we first got access was that ACLU attorney Lee Galern, we met him first, And he introduced us to the gatekeepers at the ACLU, and we pitched them on our vision, which was that we wanted, you know, we're Verite documentary filmmakers, and we wanted total and complete access. And the ACLU said to us, you know, we appreciate your vision and thank you for your interest in making this documentary, but that there was just no way we would ever get access. And so I think Eli and I turned to each other and said, you know, I think maybe we could make this work. And the truth is, it was a series of many conversations over many months. And I think the ACLU came to realize that the stakes were just so high, that this wasn't just an unprecedented moment for them, for civil liberties. It was a moment like they hadn't seen since the 1960s in fighting civil rights. And that that it was worth the risk of a Verite film team coming in, because history needed it. This needed to be documented for history, and it needed to be shown for the world to see what was happening.
I mean, Eli, you couldn't have written a better film. It's just we cover these issues so closely, but to see what goes on behind the scenes, it just gives you such a new appreciation for the incredible work that these lawyers do. I mean, we watch them at home with their families. We watch them running to trains, in hotel rooms, trying to put briefs together. I mean, it's really just incredible. What was the experience like for you to be so up and close?
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, it's we find that the daily news cycle journalism sort of misses often that human aspect of the story. And it was really inspiring and exciting to be up close with these guys while they were doing this incredibly difficult work with crazy, enormous, dangerous stakes for all of us. And they're all, you know, sort of at the top of their game. They're all, it's sort of a motley crew of geniuses there fighting really the biggest, most difficult adversary you could imagine. So, it was a ride. It was a lot of fun and inspiring and scary.
Wow. Why did you decide to focus on these specific cases, voting rights? Well, actually, it's more than it is voting, but it's also the question around citizenship on the census, and then whether or not trans people can serve in the military, reproductive rights, whether or not immigrants who are detained at the United States border has the right to an abortion, and then, of course, family separation. Can you talk about why you decided to focus on those four cases, Elise?
Sure, yeah. Well, we went where the fight was. We first began filming with Lee, who handles immigration, and his first case was the Muslim ban case. And then it led to the family separation case. And, you know, we planted our cameras at the ACLU National Office in downtown Manhattan, and we were waiting to see what would be the big cases that the ACLU would take up. And in the end, what you see in our film are the biggest cases of the last 3 years fighting the Trump administration, and they included abortion rights and trans rights, immigration rights, voting rights. And I think if you see our film, you really get a glimpse at what's been happening in the fight for civil liberties over the last 3 years.
What did you learn also about these lawyers? Because we might hear from them. I mean, we've had some of them on the show. We hear from them when they argue before the Supreme Court. But it was so interesting just to watch how dedicated they are, how fast they have to move, how they work well into the night to put arguments together. And in some cases, in the case of Dale Ho, fighting the administration on the citizenship question on the census, he has never argued in front of the Supreme Court before. So what really stood out for you, Elise, as you got to know these lawyers?
Well, I think going in, there was this big question, which was like, what is the ACLU? You know, I had been, my mother was a lawyer who fought for immigrant rights. I had always had, you know, an understanding of the ACLU and part of the reasons when you make these documentaries is you're just really curious, like, what's going on? I wanted to meet these guys. I wanted to meet these lawyers who are on the front lines fighting this epic fight for our civil liberties. And I think I didn't know what to expect. And the thing that sticks with me still, having, you know, met these lawyers and been up front with them for the past 3 years, is just how personal, you know, the fight is. It really is. Like, these guys think about their clients all the time. I think we were talking with Dale last night, and it's, you know, and in just thinking about voting rights and what's at stake. I mean, it's, he can't have a minute. Like, it's obsessed. It's obsessed. It's passion. It's very personal. And so I think you see that when you were talking earlier about, you know, the lawyers and their faces, and you can see it in our film, just the expression on their faces of the weight of these cases. It's very real and it's very visceral.
Eli, what would you add?
Well, I mean, one thing that we really like to do as filmmakers is try to tell the big, important stories through these human moments. And we felt like we hit sort of documentary gold when we found these lawyers. I think Dale says it in the movie. There's a lot more piercings and tattoos at the ACLU than at Department of Justice. And I think what he's getting at is it's a real motley cast of characters. And their humanity, I mean, you can see it on their faces that they're living and dying by the fates of their clients. And the emotion when they take a gut punch or when they have a victory is incredibly affecting to us. And I think it really comes through and makes the how not only how important these cases are manifest, but how much these lawyers are really feeling the work. It makes it inspiring to be around them, honestly. Mm.
Yeah, I could really tell. Let's talk about the case around immigrant rights and family separation. We did a show yesterday with Jean Guerrero, who wrote a new book about Stephen Miller, who's really the brainchild behind a lot of these horrific immigration policies. In fact, Jean Guerrero reported that Donald Trump was actually not comfortable with child separation, but Stephen Miller was really obsessed with it. And after they saw how well it played with their base, that's when Donald Trump just kind of went along with it and actually almost talked about it with glee, which in the film, it's just hard to even watch that. So tell us a little bit about Lee Gelernt. He is the ACLU lawyer focusing on immigrant rights and family separation. And we watch him when he's in hotel rooms. We watch him when he goes to Tijuana to meet with asylum seekers. It's really personal for him because he also has children. Tell us a little bit about Lee, Elise.
Well, Lee, as you were saying, he's a veteran lawyer at the ACLU of all the subjects we had. I mean, he's been there the longest, 25 years, and he's been working in immigration. And he was the first person we started filming with him. I don't know, you know, in the very beginning of the film, he's actually the reason this film came to be, because I actually, when he was arguing for a stay of Trump's order, Muslim ban order, at the Brooklyn courthouse, and when he emerged having gotten that stay and that victorious moment with hundreds and thousands of crowds, I was actually there on the steps of the Brooklyn courthouse, and I saw Lee's expression. And I just felt like I want to be with this guy and following him in his fight for civil liberties, civil rights. And so Lee is not, you know, he is fighting the good fight for, you know, the one of the biggest things, the attacks on immigrants and immigrant communities has just been absolutely unprecedented in all his 25 years. And he has been working around the clock. You know, and we get to watch him doing that fight. And what you get to see is both this person who's the master in the courthouse, in the courtroom. He can deliver incredible oral arguments and understand the judges and strategy, but you also see a person who is very relatable and sort of fumbling around with technology. And, you know, I think there's something that we wanted to show in this film, both, you know, that these lawyers are they're saving the world while they're just fighting little battles, little personal battles, either wrangling their children or, struggling with their phone charger. And I think you see that with Lee. You get a real look at his humanity. And through him, you get a sense of, you know, the stakes of this epic legal fight that he's in.
I also appreciate that you tell the stories of immigrants who've been affected by these policies, because I feel like because of COVID and the election coming up, we haven't spent enough time talking about family separation. And it's just so important to learn about these personal stories. So if we can just talk about a few of them. You showed Lee traveling to CoreCivic in San Diego, and he traveled there to meet a mom who was separated from her 7.5-year-old child. The government took her child and sent her to Chicago. So the little girl is just frightened out of her mind. She's crying. She knows no one there. And we meet Miss L in the film. Miss L says, "They took us to a room. They gave us prisoner clothing. They said they were separating us, but I didn't understand." Miss L's daughter speaks Spanish, so her daughter was able to translate for her mom. I mean, can you imagine? Her young daughter is telling her mom, "Mommy, they're going to separate us." And she says, "You know, what are you talking about?" And all of a sudden, authorities take the daughter and she starts screaming, "Mama, mama." And Miss L had no idea where her daughter was. She said it was torture, and she spent 4 months there. I mean, this is just also really powerful, Elise, that we learn about what the lawyers are fighting for, but we also learn about the people personally that the lawyers are fighting for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the family separation policy is brutal and really showcases the horror of, of the Trump administration and what the impact of this policy meant on families. And I do think that right now you're absolutely right. People have kind of maybe forgotten about it, and everybody's, you know, they're focused on many things with COVID and job loss and everything we're dealing with. But it's, you know, one of the things you get to see in this film is this was a policy that was implemented by the Trump administration. And you get a personal look at Miss L and her daughter and what it meant to take away a 6-year-old from a mother. And, I don't think anybody, any human looking at that could not feel, you know, just a gut punch, which it was. It was for us filming it. And it, you know, I think for everyone involved, even other lawyers, sometimes we're jumping on to help Lee, with the legal battle against family separation to help with that case, because it was just, it was so horrifying.
Mm. Were either of you, please go ahead.
If I can add just real quick, Miss L is someone who did everything right. She presented herself at the border for asylum. She followed all the rules and had her daughter ripped from her anyway. And you can hear the anguish in her interview in the film and in the moment when she's reunited with her daughter. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And you really see, you know, Lee is killing himself to get these families back together, because he feels that and internalizes it too. And one really gruesome thing about the pandemic ongoing is the ACLU has been working with NGOs to try to reunite as many of these families, because we won his case and the government has been ordered to reunite these people, but they've lost track of so many families. And so the ACLU has been helping. Lee's been going to Guatemala and knocking on doors and trying to track people down. They've been doing investigative work, but the virus has completely thrown a wrench into that. And so, anyway, not to not to soapbox further, but the you were talking about Stephen Miller, the effects of that man's sort of axe to grind on these people's lives, really, it just continues to echo in worse and worse ways.
Exactly. And journalist Jean Guerrero said that if Trump is reelected, they will go so far as to try to get rid of immigration altogether. But I'm glad you brought that up, Eli, because that's what I was wondering is, what is the status of children who have been separated from their kids? We follow Lee as he meets with Raul in Tijuana. Raul is an asylum seeker from Guatemala. He said, "Around me, I saw children taken away, including a three-year-old pulled from his father." And you just have to wonder, has that three-year-old been reunited with his father? So you're saying that Lee is actually going to Guatemala to try to reunite families?
Well, I don't know that Lee has been to Guatemala, and we flew down there with him. Mostly he's back in courtrooms and writing briefs and rushing from judge to judge. Trying to keep a thumb in the dam, but a lot of that work in Central and South America has been stopped by the virus, and I'm no expert, so I can't quote you the numbers. There are still many children who have not been reunited, and it's hard to know what the outcome is going to be. I mean, that sort of particular piece of horror is just going to echo, I think, in our country for years to come.
Mm. Well, we are definitely going to do an update on that. One more story I want to share. We talked about Raul. You met with another man who said, "We arrived at the border. I took out my documents. The officer grabbed my asylum and tossed it. They put us in separate cells." He was with his son. The officer said, "Your son goes to that side. You go to that side." This man said, "I could only see my son through a window. I went to sleep, woke up at 5 a.m. I looked for my son, and he was gone." What was it like for you both to talk to people who've lost their kids? Elise?
It was hard. There is no question. I think as a parent, I have two kids. I was actually pregnant while I was filming this film. So it was very challenging. It was very hard. I think any human can understand and relate to what it would mean to be separated from your child. But I felt like, I think we all felt that, one of the reasons we were making this film was to show the public what's at stake here. And I think, we were talking earlier about why the ACLU agreed to let us in. There's no question it was to shine a light on these stories, what you're doing right now by, talking about our film and making people aware of the horrors of this policy, of the stakes of the fight, and especially as we head into an election year. And I think we were driven to do that. And when we first started filming with Lee, and he was hearing rumors about children being separated, and he was trying to get press to pay attention, and nobody was interested. And then it slowly built. And what he says and what we've experienced in the film is that the public conversation around these issues, it affects what happens in the courts. So public interest, public outcry, it has a real impact on judges. It has a real impact on decisions. So we need the public. Oh. Hello?
Yes, you're still there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. My phone just dropped for a second. So I think that that was a motivator in telling the story and in getting this out. And I think we thought about that a lot.
What would you like to add, Eli?
Well, I mean, the experience that these parents have had their children taken is clearly horrifying. But I would I want to stress that the movie is and making the film is hopeful. We're inspired by what's going on. I mean, the public outcry around family separation, the public outcry around the Muslim ban, the public outcry around the murder of George Floyd, all these things have galvanized, I think, the conversation in our country. I mean, it certainly galvanized these lawyers, and it's an action movie. I mean, they are out there fighting with really a huge upswelling of the citizenry at their back. And so it's grim. There's no question about it. But it feels to us, and I think this comes through in the film, like the winds of change are in the air. And there's a lot of joy and fun in being able to watch these lawyers defend us all, you know, be our champions, be our superheroes, and fight for the cause of civil rights.
Yeah.
So I wanted to move away a little bit from the wailing and rending of hair. Things are bad, but we're feeling empowered, you know, and making this movie really brought that home for us.
That is Eli Dupre. Eli and Elise Steinberg are directors of The Fight, a new documentary that follows a team of incredible ACLU attorneys as they sue the Trump administration over reproductive freedom, trans rights, child separation, and voting rights. The film really does an amazing job of showing us what goes on behind the scenes and what is at stake in the upcoming election. The film is available now. You can stream it at fightthefilm.com. That's fightthefilm.com. We're going to take a quick break. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Your call is better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. 8255 toll free. You can also send an email to yourcall@kalw.org or leave a comment at the show's website, set a bookmark for yourcallradio.org, and you can also tweet us at yourcallradio. Coming up on 1A at 11 o'clock, right after your call, Kamala Harris's path to the vice presidential nomination will be the subject on 1A this morning at 11 o'clock, right after your call.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our media roundtable. We'll be discussing the impacts of China's national security law on Hong Kong. In recent weeks, independent media organizations have come under attack. Activists have been arrested and several have fled the country. Then we'll talk about the Trump administration's disinformation campaign around mail-in ballots and their opposition to the Democrats' proposed boost in funding to the Postal Service just a couple months until the election. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email us, yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's conversation about the incredible work that the ACLU does, they're celebrating their 100-year anniversary this year. They've also brought 173 lawsuits against the Trump administration. A new documentary called The Fight follows a team of very dedicated lawyers as they sue the administration. It also really does an amazing job of showing us what is at stake in the upcoming election. And we're joined by directors Elise Steinberg and Eli Dupre. To your point, Eli, about this being an uplifting film, I think what's also interesting is that in this country, for all of its faults, there are tools that are available that allow people to take on the government. I mean, we do shows about other countries where that is not the case. So, I was thinking a lot about the Bush administration because ACLU lawyers were also very, very busy filing lawsuits, and they also sued the Obama administration, but not at these numbers. So I think that's also an important point to make.
Absolutely. The ACLU has sued every president since the founding of the organization, and they're going to sue, you know, in a year, I hope that they'll be suing President Biden I think it's a real tribute to the organization that they are willing to wrestle with really complicated issues they defended the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, mm-hmm. which is in the movie, that the death of Hires at the hands of an alt-right I don't know how they describe themselves, but one of those marchers. I think it was a real moment of soul searching for the ACLU, and it was a gut punch, I think, for the attorneys. I mean, it was a gut punch for our whole country, but the ability of these lawyers to really tackle challenging issues, conflicts between our various rights, First Amendment versus the right to gather safely, is fascinating, and I think it makes both the movie richer and gosh knows it makes our country better that they're willing to grapple with this.
Yeah, that was a really interesting part of the film, Elise. I mean, the 3-year anniversary of that deadly Charlottesville rally was just a couple of days ago, and the footage, it just to be brought back to that place, was very powerful. And we learn in the film that after being denied a permit by the Charlottesville City Council, Unite the Right, that's what they called themselves, turned to the ACLU, who backed their right to rally. And once again, as I always do, I'm sorry if people are offended by some of this language, but these are the guys who were screaming, "Jews will not replace us." They held up the Nazi salute. They said, "Hail Trump." The ACLU, I just didn't realize this at the time. They got a lot of backlash for backing that right to rally.
Yes, absolutely. There was a big public outcry against the ACLU. I think, you know, right after the Muslim ban and that that win that Lee had, they got a tremendous amount of donations. And then after Charlottesville, there was a lot of people who then turned against the ACLU. I think that's actually a part of their history. They experienced, you know, people surge at different times, and then other times, you know, people turn against them publicly. And I think but they've been around, as you know, for 100 years, and they still do their work regardless of where the public is. But yeah, I mean, I think from filming Charlottesville, you know, we were following our lawyers and their cases, which weren't directly about free speech. So we were dealing with Lee and immigration and voting rights and trans rights and abortion rights. And but then we were there when Charlottesville happened. And what we saw was that it was just, you know, it was a gut punch for the organization and for the lawyers. I think that what we saw was a debate at the organization. There were people who felt that, you know, First Amendment absolutists, and that this was the right decision for the ACLU to take this case and fight this fight. And then there were others who firmly disagreed. And we saw that debate play out, and we felt, as you know, as documentarians, this was a debate that we needed to show. It was absolutely crucial that we showed. We showed this discussion, and we were very grateful that the ACLU allowed us in to sort of give a glimpse of what that debate and what that conversation looked like from the inside.
Eli, it was very powerful to watch the expressions on the attorneys' faces when they learned about what happened when the car was driven through the crowd in Charlottesville and that driver ended up killing Heather Heyer. That was really powerful to see that.
Yeah, we really live and die with the emotions of these attorneys, and I think they're not, this isn't dress up for them. There's a reason that they went into advocacy law instead of, you know, making zillions of dollars at some buttoned-up Brooks Brothers law firm. They really have the courage of their convictions, and they really feel it. Just watching them take that in, it still makes me cry to watch, honestly.
Yeah, actually, Dale Ho, the lawyer who has never argued in front of the Supreme Court, but he argued against the citizenship question on the census, said the same thing. But, you know, we easily could have, gone to a corporate firm. But if you're going to fight for civil rights, now is really the time to do it.
Absolutely. Which is sort of how we felt about making this movie. It's like we're not advocacy journalists. We're not issue filmmakers by and large, but Elise made a very compelling argument that this was the movie we had to make right now.
I think that Dale says to you, Celia, they kind of have a joke, but like it could be a drinking game now more than ever. But it's true. I think that there's a real feeling that now more than ever. And that you can feel that mission permeate the office of the ACLU. Just if you're not going to be a civil rights lawyer now, then when? And they all feel that way. This is their moment. And as Eli was saying, I had a similar moment feeling like if I'm going to be a documentarian in this moment, I got to follow this fight. This is an epic fight. This is the biggest fight. That I'll probably fight for civil liberties that I'll probably see in my lifetime. And it felt like I'm a filmmaker, a verite filmmaker. This is something I want to follow.
I was also struck when Dale Ho said that it won't be lawyers and courts that will save us. It'll be the people who turn the ship around. And this goes to the point that you made earlier, Eli, about the power of all of these movements, the power of people dropping everything and going to the airport immediately when they heard about the ban.
Yeah, and it's resonating right now. I mean, we've got police departments who are changing their policies. Chokeholds are being eliminated, not in every police department, not in every state, not in every county. And funding is being moved away from violent response to nonviolent crimes. Policy is being affected directly because of the movement in the street. It really resonates with the movie and what happened with both the Muslim ban and family separation. I mean, those were changes in the law and changes in policy and actions in the courtroom that grew directly out of people just storming outside in anger and harassing their legislatures and making the people who determine policy really feel the heat and feel how we the American people feel about these abuses. So it's an exciting time. I mean,
I think that what you see in our film, it opens with protesters. The steps of the Brooklyn courthouse for the Muslim ban, and then it ends. One of the last things that you hear is Dale saying, "Change isn't going to happen just with lawyers. It's going to be people that turn the ship around." And I think we feel and what we saw is that it's up to people. It starts with protests. It starts with people in the streets, and it works its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. Chase had a case about employment discrimination for LGBTQ rights, and he feels that the protests around that, it impacted. Mm-hmm. It had a real impact in the courts, and I think we see that throughout history that, change starts in the streets, it starts with people, and then it moves into the courts.
Yeah, can you talk more about that, Eli or Elise? What else did the lawyers tell you about the power of social movements and people taking to the streets?
Well, it's interesting to us. It's really fun for us and exciting, I think, in the movie to see how it feels to be at the tip of the spear. I mean, this movement is huge, and I think they feel the weight of that. That scene that you're talking about where Dale is preparing, I don't think we've ever been able to watch a lawyer the night before arguing in front of the Supreme Court for the first time try to prepare. And you feel, he feels the weight of history, and you feel it on him as he's gulping at his water and stumbling and blowing his lines. I think there's some of that in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to see Lee and Bridget and Josh and Chase and Dale wearing the mantle of all of our hopes and dreams and all of this huge public outcry. I mean, they know that Josh has a line in it. He's joking with Chase about if the argument goes wrong, the fate of the trans world is all his fault. so it's a very exciting melding, I think, that we were able to witness of this group collective movement and this public outcry through the lens, through the point of view of these champions who actually have to go in and do rhetorical battle in court for us. It's cool to watch. And they don't always win. It's, you know, it goes both ways. There's heartbreak and there's triumph. It's been an emotional time, and the movie is very much embodies that. Mm.
Eli Dupre and Elise Steinberg are directors of The Fight. It's a new documentary that follows a team of ACLU attorneys as they sue the Trump administration. The film shows us what goes on behind the scenes and what is at stake in the upcoming election. You can watch the film online now, fightthefilm.com. It's fightthefilm.com. If you have any questions for our guests about what they learned about these incredible lawyers, about the ACLU, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We hear about these lawsuits on a regular basis, but it's just another experience altogether to really learn about what goes into it, how hard these lawyers work on these cases, how much they care about their clients. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at Your Call Radio. The other issue I'd like to talk about is reproductive rights, because I feel like that's another issue that is really not getting as much attention because of COVID and the economic crisis and other things. And this was an amazing one to follow. I mean, Bridget Amiri, what a powerhouse lawyer. Elise, tell us a little bit about Bridget Amiri, who focuses and fights for abortion and reproductive rights.
Bridget is just a powerhouse. She is, you know, I think going in, it was, we wanted to spend time with people that inspired us. I think after Trump was elected, there was this feeling of just feeling a little hopeless, feeling a little down. And I just feel like the times that I got to film with Bridget, I just felt better. you know, she works around the clock to fight for abortion rights and abortion access. And the case that we follow, you know, a undocumented minor is unable to get abortion. And she receives anonymous tips. And it, you know, it was playing like a thriller. It felt like this is something you would, while filming it, it was something she had never seen. It was something that, I had, you know, I felt like I only get to watch in a scripted show, but this was real life happening. And she had to, rush into court, seeing if she could get, one of her clients named Jane Doe, she was anonymous, able to get her abortion access before, you know, the legal limit of her pregnancy made it that impossible. And Bridget is, you know, what you see in the film and what she's like in real life. She's funny. She knows how to, you know, celebrate with a glass of wine on the train. And but she's a real fighter. And it was just, it was inspiring to watch her.
It was also really amazing to really see her in action. And I want to play a clip from the film, and bear with me because we had some technical issues with the screener. So I'm playing this clip from my kitchen office. And so I'm going to have to multitask here for a minute. And I just want to make sure that I'm able to do this right. So this is a clip of Scott Lloyd, and he worked with, headed the Office of Refugee Settlement. Scott Lloyd directed that office to block Jane Doe's abortion, and his deposition was evidence in Jane's case. And this is a clip of Bridget questioning Scott Lloyd.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
This minor had been raped, correct?
Well, she claimed to have been raped, yes.
Do you have any reason to disbelieve her?
No.
This minor had thoughts of self-harm?
She expressed something along those lines, yes.
You also believe that abortion is a sin?
What does that have to do with anything?
It has to do with a lot. I get to ask the questions. Mr.
Sure.
Tomlinson can object. So my question is, do you believe abortion is a sin?
Yes.
I can object. He's testified in the past that he does not let religion guide his job.
I'm trying to understand what the policy really is here with respect to abortion requests.
Okay, then let's talk about the policy.
Okay. I'm trying to understand whether there is any abortion request that you are ever going to approve.
And the answer, which I've answered, is I don't know.
Now, for the first time since Roe v. Wade, America has a pro-life president, a pro-life vice president, a pro-life House of Representatives, and 25 pro-life Republican state capitals. That is pretty good. That is pretty good.
And that is a clip from The Fight. We heard Scott Lloyd, who directed the Office of Refugee Resettlement, being questioned by Bridget Amiri, who is an attorney with the ACLU focusing on reproductive rights. Eli, I wanted to play this clip because it's very easy, again, because the news is moving so fast. It's easy to forget these cases. It's also easy to forget that a lot of young, very extreme people are in very high positions in the Trump administration. And someone like a Scott Lloyd, who's not there now, but he had a lot of power. I mean, he wanted to block immigrants from having abortions, which is legal in the United States.
Yeah, it's crazy. His qualification for heading the Office of Refugee Resettlement was that he was an anti-abortion activist with the Knights of Columbus and had written some cockamamie articles about it. And I love that clip for both how just tough as nails Bridget is, but also you can see the contempt on Scott Lloyd's face, or at least I read it that way. I mean, as Verite filmmakers, we try not to editorialize at all. We try not to put ourselves in the film. And so maybe I'm just reading that on his face, but he has such a dismissive smirk as she really dismantles him in his testimony. I guess I'm glad you played that clip. It's crazy, and there is fatigue. We forget because these appointments are happening all over our government, and all of these people whose job is supposed to be furthering the interests of the citizenry are either, you know, serving their own religious agenda or moneyed interests or whatever. They're basically, the government has been kind of taken away from us. And so part of what the ACLU and part of what Bridget and Dale and Lee and Josh and Chase are doing is fighting in court to take it back.
Right. And it's also important. I mean, Bridget said, if we lose this case, I don't know what Roe means. And luckily, they did not lose the case, but they had to file emergency appeals. I mean, Judge Kavanaugh, now the Supreme Court judge, justice, he was on a 3-judge panel that heard the case, and he punted. He said, no, this young person, this young woman, 17 girl, could not get her abortion. And then Bridget and her team filed an emergency appeal. And I won't give too much away, but you know, for people who followed it, they know what happens. We have just a couple minutes left, but going back to to what's really at stake here, Elise, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this woman is amazing. I mean, she has been in the hospital many, many times. Just recently, she got out of the hospital. What did Bridget tell you about what is at stake if Trump is reelected? Because he will most certainly be able to probably appoint 2 more justices if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the state of Roe versus Wade is at stake. There's no question. Abortion access and that right to get abortion is at stake. There is no question. I mean, and we're already seeing intense rollbacks. Yes, there has been victories, but abortion access has just gotten harder and harder to get in this country. They're finding different ways to chip at it. But a full overturning of Roe versus Wade is totally within the realm of possibility. You know, I think just listening to the clip as well and thinking of how I felt when we were filming, and it felt like a real live Handmaid's Tale at times. It felt like that's at stake here. There's no question. As the lawyers say, one of the ways that you want to change some of the laws that have been in place and protect some civil liberties that we have now is it's about who you elect right now. That's it. Like, that's what's going to make the change and preserve some freedoms.
Eli, what would you add? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, it was just a bananas plot twist for us to realize that Kavanaugh, he'd only ever argued this case in our film about abortion rights. And you watch in the movie as he goes from auditioning by being an anti-abortion justice to parlaying that into the nomination. And it's stunning for Bridget to watch it happen in front of her eyes. We're all gobsmacked that we were had a front row seat for history.
Eli Dupre and Elise Steinberg are directors of The Fight, a new documentary that follows a team of incredible ACLU attorneys as they sue the Trump administration. The film really takes you behind the scenes and also really looks at what's at stake in the upcoming election. Eli and Elise, thank you so much for this amazing film, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you. And because of COVID, once again, this is a brand new film and it is screening online. You can watch it, fightthefilm.com, fightthefilm.com. You can also find a link at yourcallradio.org. And if you missed yesterday's show about Stephen Miller, it's very directly connected to today's show. Our guest, Jean Guerrero, also talks about what is at stake under another 4 years of the Trump administration. And you can find that at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today and yesterday's shows. Thanks to Kevin Vance, our studio engineer. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.